Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to the Gospel Underground Podcast. This is episode 171, Doing Difficult Things. I am broadcasting live, well, live for me from a brief time at home at the Worldwide Shed Quarters in Blacksburg, Virginia. My main man, Jesse, and I have been really trying hard to get on each other's calendars to podcast, and it's really been an exercise in futility lately. We've both had a tremendous amount of things going on with life, work, family, and it's just been hard to get scheduled. In fact, there's been many unexpected things hit my calendar recently that it's kind of leading me to kind of want to do this episode here today. Today we're doing something called Doing Difficult Things, and I've just been thinking a lot lately about what makes human beings, right? What makes human beings want to do hard things? And this is going to be a transitionary episode to a coming series we're going to do on basically the golden rule of Jesus of Nazareth, right? Jesus Christ taught us to, hey, whatever you'd like people to do to you, do that to them, right? Do unto others. Maybe you've heard it in that old King James expression. And so we're going to be doing that for the next year or so, various ways that we can think about with our moral imagination what the world could be like or what someone's world could be like if we were treated like we would like to be treated. And then to go using that moral imagination and doing these things for others has tremendous applications for things like parenting or evangelism, reaching out to people who are far from God. But before we get to that, if we really want to do to others in a certain fashion, sometimes that means we sacrifice our own desires at times, or what we want, or what's pleasant, or what's difficult. In other words, it sometimes requires for us to do hard things. Now, here's the thing, guys. If you say, think about serving people, you're going to have to do hard things. If you think about being a mom or a dad, either now or someday in your future, you're serving kids, you're going to have to do hard things. If you're a Christian and you care about folks, hearing the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, receiving the good news of Jesus, forgiveness of their sins, saving them from sin, death, and God's right judgment for our sin. If you care about lost people, you're going to have to do hard things. And certainly, I've been thinking about this week quite a bit. If you're a child, maybe grown, taking care of elderly parents, maybe in the last stages of their life here on earth under the sun in this present age, you're going to have to do hard things. And so I wanted to look at our motivation a little bit today on why should we choose to do that? Why should we choose a difficult path or even a narrow way, as Jesus said once, in life when there's a lot of TV we could watch or lots of good food to eat or lots of things we could do just making life a party? And look, all those things should be received as good gifts from God, right? But sometimes we have to do difficult things. But now, why is doing hard things hard? So I don't want to get into this too much today, but we simply desire what we want at times instead of what God wants in both our attitudes and our actions. In fact, our sinful nature bends us in this direction. And plus, we choose comfort, we choose security, we choose the momentary over the eternal. We choose easy, right? We like the easy path. We like satisfying our desires, even our biochemical life, our biological life, our body, psychosomatic, body, soul unity desires things and needs things like food and drink. The brain can crave substances, sensuality. Our brains like these things. So we simply want to be satisfied. So we chase things many times, doing the easy way to our own detriment in life. And so this brief podcast, I want to talk about overcoming this struggle, right, in us. The Apostle Paul describes it in Romans 7. Say, hey, I struggle to do the good that I know I ought to do, but I have this other thing in me working in us. Now, this is sin, right? Sin works within us. And we have to overcome it. We have to put to death the old desires of the sinful life and live a new life to God. This has been discussed a lot, both in ancient Greek and Christian philosophical circles. I'm not going to solve this philosophical puzzle for you today about why do we not follow through sometimes to do the things that we know rationally, intellectually we ought to do. The ancients called this akrasia, the Greek word for kind of the weakness of the will. This was a good summary, I thought, from a guy named Byron Williston, reviewing a book by Tobias Hoffman called Weakness of the Will from Plato. Not Plato like the little doe, but Plato the philosopher. Weakness of the Will from Plato to the Present, from Catholic University American Press. In this book review, Williston says this: historically, the two touchstones for our understanding akrasia, or weakness of the will, lack of follow-through, have been Socrates and St. Paul. The Socratic position is intellectualist and eliminativist. The fact that virtue is knowledge makes akrasia theoretically impossible and therefore actually non-existent. So some of the ancient Greeks would deny there's any weakness of the will. Maybe there's a lack of virtue or lack of knowledge. But you can't, once you really know and have this virtuous knowledge or virtue of character, you will follow through. The Pauline view is diametrically opposed for this. For Paul, akrasia is not only theoretically possible, it is in some sense inevitable in the post-lapsarian or post-fall sin humanity, although its effects can be mitigated. Hoffman's conclusion shows that every thinker who discusses akrasia, from Socrates to Alistair MacIntyre, at least tends towards either the Socratic or the Pauline view. But there is much else interest in these essays. Here's a brief summary of each. Anyway, that's a book if you want to check that out, The Weakness of the Will from Plato to the Present. But we do struggle, whether we want to blame it on a weakness of the will, we want to blame it on ignorance, right? We do struggle. And so how do we overcome a desire for ease and comfort and gain this virtue of doing difficult things when they are good, right? So that maybe gives you a little bit of clue. If we know the good, we ought to do the good. If we become like the good, we're more likely to be gooder. But one of the things we have to focus on in life as a follower of Jesus, first and foremost, is his goodness, his character, his virtue, not simply our own, right? Where I'm starting from, I'd rather just eat chicken wings than go help my dad, like my wife and I had the opportunity to this week. If we focus on the goodness of Jesus, we will encounter things like this where he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we love Jesus, seeing his goodness and for who he is, we will follow him, right? Or as 1 John 5:3, his commands are not burdensome, right? The things that Jesus would have us to do in life are good. Faith. We put our faith, our trust in him, in his character. And then certainly we have to live in hope in his promises, right? That there is the kingdom coming. There is a great reward at the end of time for all who have been faithful to the end. All things in this life work together for our good. And we have to trust in his goodness to listen to him, right? Because Jesus will give us hard words to encourage us to do hard things. One of those, and this is what we will be covering here on the podcast in detail, hopefully in the future, Lord willing, is from Jesus's teaching in Matthew 7. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is verses 7, chapter 7, 12 through 14. So whatever you wish others would do to you, whatever you wish others would do to you, do actively also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We'll talk about this next time in our next episode. But Jesus basically said, you want a summation of the entire Bible, the law and the prophets? This is a summary for you. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, imagine a world would be like if people treated you a certain way, then do actively for them. That's hard. That's hard. Verse 13 follows, enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and few find it when we trust the goodness of Jesus. We have to look at his words and say his way is better, even if the whole world is going the other way. Even if the crowd, the herds are doing ABC, that does not mean that that way is for me, right? Sometimes doing the hard things keeps us on the path that Jesus would have for us. Now, here's the primary concern about living the golden rule. I'm going to take it up here in this episode and throughout this series, but if you try to live this way, the way Jesus calls us to live, won't people take advantage of us? Now, I want us to slow down here for just a second and look at that question. Will someone take advantage of me? Well, I'm just going to say to that, Jesus calls us to live and serve in such a way that other people would be advantaged. Like, think about it this way. We'll start close to home because that makes a lot more sense to people. Should my wife take advantage in life from me? Well, I hope so. What about my children? What about my friends? Should I be what the Bible says is a blessing to people? Well, if you put it in those terms, I hope it makes a lot more sense. This is the calling of us as the people of God. Genesis 12, beginning way back with Abram, where God called Abram, later Abraham, right, to himself to make him a promise or a covenant with him. Listen to this. This is like, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Yes, right? We love that, right? And I will make your name great. Why? So that you will be a blessing. You see, this idea that any blessing we have from God, we've been blessed, we've been comforted, that we might be an advantage to others, right? 1 Peter 3:9, New Testament says this, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, like hating for hating, right? But on the contrary, bless, for this you were called, so that you may obtain a blessing. In Philippians 2, the great example, this wonderful hymn that the Apostle Paul writes about Jesus. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy, being of the same mind, having of the same love, being of full of accord and unified in one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Now, if we look at Jesus, we want to have the same mind as Jesus, along with a crew, right, of our family of families, the local church, right? We want to live in a community that looks not simply selfishly at our own desires and interests, but also to the interests of others. Then, this is powerful, y'all. Then, you guys, listen. Then you have a community of people advantaging one another. And this is for our good. This is hard, though, because to find your life, we think we have to hold on to it. We have to hoard. We have to think about me. We have to think about getting mine and mine only. Protection, fighting everybody, right? Jesus is the one who taught us in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And after all, guys, isn't it not true? 1 Corinthians 13, the great passage on love, that love, right, in the end will triumph. Certainly the love of God triumphed on the cross of Jesus, where greater love has no one than this, than to lay his life down for his friends. We're called to be disciples, learner, followers of Jesus. This means that sometimes we have to choose to serve. We have to choose temporary, hard things in order to love God and love people. This is one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. In fact, these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 5, are some of my absolute favorites, go-to stuff. But this is a reminder. As we think of, hey, should I go help this person? Should I avail myself to be inconvenienced, to even suffer in order to advantage someone else and bless them? Or should I be willing to do something hard simply to obey God when everyone else is taking the big path, the Broadway, easy street? Should I take the narrow way. This is 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. It says this, for this light and momentary affliction, short, just for a moment, pain, affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparisons. As we look, what are we looking at in life? Not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. The things of this life are just passing through, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And it's precisely that perspective, looking to Jesus, looking to his way, looking to his coming kingdom, looking to eternity, that helps us to overcome selfishness, silliness, in order to serve. The Gospel Underground podcast is produced in partnership with Jesse Fury, the Bonhoeffer House. We will be back together sometime soon. March is going to be tough, but send us your feedback or comments, things or questions you want us to take up here to info@gospelunderground.org. And hey, review us, guys. If you like this podcast, you're new to this podcast, hit up Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, podcast, Apple Podcasts. 5 stars are acceptable. We are a dialogue taking place in the borderlands between the church and culture. And we hope to see you out there. Peace.